It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Thursday, October 21st, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. Every few months, a company called Akamai measures just how fast the world is connecting online. David Belson, Director of Market Intelligence at Akamai, has the figures from the latest report released Wednesday.
The U.S. came in 16th in terms of average connection speed, so not too shabby, and still well ahead of quite a few countries and regions around the world. Not quite as fast as places like South Korea, Hong Kong, and Japan. But the flip side of that is that in those countries, you end up having much higher population density, which means it's easier to bring high-speed connectivity to a large number of people. And in many cases, you also have government support of initiatives designed to bring broadband connectivity to a large portion of the populace.
But according to Christian Sandvig, other countries with low population densities are doing better than the U.S. Christian teaches at the University of Illinois and is a fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He says the problem's not population, it's policy.
Our country made a giant bet on something called multimodal, which just means that here in our country, for wired internet, if I want a choice in internet providers, I'm going to usually have a choice between the phone company and the cable company. Sometimes there's another company in there, but usually it's the phone and the cable company. And the other countries in the world didn't do that. They often made a big bet on just choosing one infrastructure and having a lot of different providers share it. So that's called open access.
Why does this matter for our economy and for our lives that we're a bit slower or even several times slower than folks getting online in Europe or South Korea or Japan?
There's really a qualitative difference between slow internet and fast internet. I mean, we know there's a quantitative one. You know, you can add up the numbers for speed and it's a number and it goes up, but there's a qualitative difference. So there are some things that you're just not going to be able to do. And so when we say that a connection is slow, it's not just, oh, I wish this web page loads faster. It's really a whole class of different applications that people just aren't going to be able to use. So a friend of mine lives in New York City, and he was telling me that he had some house guests come from Europe. And one of the conversations he had with them is that they said to him, I thought you said you had internet, because they didn't understand what he had as internet because it was so different than what they were used to. I believe they were from France.
Ugh. What are those French users doing that we just don't get to do?
Well, I mean, it may sound frivolous, but one of the big important applications for these fast networks are actually games and entertainment. And games and entertainment are a big sector of our economy. Depending on how you define the sector, it's something like a 20th of our gross domestic product. And the new kinds of games and entertainment that are coming out now really depend on fast, reliable internet connections. It's not just that, though. I mean, there's certainly radical new approaches to things like e-health or health at a distance, where there's remote diagnosis and in some cases treatment, that also depend on exactly the same kinds of technologies as the first-person shooter games.
Christian Sandvig, from a studio in Urbana, Illinois, 100 yards from a big brass plaque commemorating the birth of the web browser. Christian says the web was an American innovation, but now he gets faster broadband in Slovakia. Another story we're following at marketplacetech.org.
What would happen if a MacBook and an iPad hooked up?
You get the new MacBook Air. It was unveiled by Apple's CEO Steve Jobs Wednesday, and according to Apple's hype machine, it's the $6 million man of laptops. Faster, lighter, and longer lasting. The $6 million man's not the only guy who's turned to the latest technology in a desperate attempt at rehab. Donald Rumsfeld may not need bionic limbs, but he's looking for a public relations makeover. So yesterday, the former U.S. Defense Secretary opened his very own account on Twitter.
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Rumsfeld may have a hard time cutting his tweets to 140 characters, but he's also got a Facebook page. And all this appears to be the opening maneuvers in advance of his book, Known and Unknown, which will invade stores in January. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Steve Henn in for John Moe. This is Marketplace Tech Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.